Going to turn to that Baptist T word. You know that word you ain't allowed to say in a Baptist church? You know what it is? We've got a few people whispering it. They ain't afraid to say it out loud. Where is it?
Whoever heard you say it's Titus.
Titus.
Well, to get comfort from Titus.
But that's not what they get out of it from the Baptist church, because they don't like that word. You mention Titus in a Baptist church and you get that look. Ew. It's like, oh, what I step in, right? Just a few thoughts from... started Monday morning, opened up the Bible, started reading Titus, and have yet to get out of it. I don't know how many times this week I've read it. I don't know how many times this week I've went back and looked at it. And I don't have any notes. So this could either be a very long message or a very short one. But sometimes it's just like the Lord won't let me write the notes down for some reason. It's just like I can't get anything. But I know some of the stuff I wanted to go over. But we'll start reading. First verse here. Everybody's ready? Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, to hope... Don't push on it. I can't lean on this thing. To hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Committed unto who? Who wrote this? Paul. That throws a lot of stuff right out the window, don't it? To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. Just a few things as we're going here. That are wanting. That's things that are absent. One thing I've been doing is trying to slow down when I read things that are absent or deficient. Obviously, there was a deficiency of elders, and he was to set them up into the places they needed to be. So, just things I've been looking at this week. This may not be all that great for anybody. If it ain't, then you know you can click off, I guess. But just things that I get. It gets more exciting as it goes. Believe me. Trust me, it'll get more interesting. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. And that sober doesn't mean like we use the word, which is absent of drunkenness. It means that, you know, they're serious, solemn, grave people that are serious about what's going on here. They need to be serious about it. Where we need to be serious about this, because I think that I was talking about this to somebody the other day, and about how, you know, as I go through this and I read Paul's writings, and I start realizing more and more every day how few of people have got this. And what Paul has to say, I've got to get louder than the thumping. What Paul has to say about the people who reject his message. You know, he don't say much about the people who didn't know any different. He says a lot about the people who reject it. And we're going to get into that, but try not to jump ahead. Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine. Where do we get that doctrine? Through Paul. Both to exhort and to convince the gainslayers. For There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. A lot of Jews were in this, weren't they? It's funny how all these churches are teaching for us to go back to what the Jews are supposed to be following. And as we see that, and we see Paul talking about it, he had the same problem then, didn't he? Things hasn't changed. Just like I talked about last week, it's just the devices that the devil uses. He don't change his game plan a whole lot. He just changes the players a few times. It's just the same old game plan that he uses. Whose mouths must be stopped. Okay? He's talking about they need to be shut. They need to shut them up. What's going to shut them up? The truth, isn't it? See what's happened when they don't want to talk to us anymore? See, the truth has shut them up. Oh, don't talk to them. We don't want to hear what they have to say. Don't talk to them. I'm going to tell you, I could just imagine the conversation that went on last week in Chicago was, you don't want to talk to him about this. But the guy called me and talked to me about it. And guess what? He said he's interested in finding out what we believe. You know, whether he does or doesn't. I haven't got the email from him yet to send him stuff, but he said he'd like to know. I said, wouldn't you like to know what we believe instead of going by what somebody else tells you not to believe? See, the truth is shut them up. They don't want to talk to us no more. And it says, who subverting whole houses. Now, I think it's interesting that Paul puts it that way. Remember what that word subvert means from last week when we talked about it? To overthrow from the foundation. Paul uses that over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, subverting whole houses. That's a big foundation, isn't it? That it subverts the whole house. The foundation is overthrown from that foundation. I think it's interesting. He uses it in a term with a house. Teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. We see that over and over again. We've seen it in the churches. We've seen it in, my brother was a, what do they call it? Trustee? Not a trustee. Trustee does all the work. It's on the treasurer's committee or whatever they called it, a church. And he said, X amount of dollars come up missing out of the church account. And about the same time, the pastor got new carpet in his house, and they couldn't figure out where the money went to. I thought, you know, it ain't rocket science, people. It ain't rocket science. It ain't hard to figure out. Filthy lucre. That's what it is. What are they going to get out of it? And probably can stand there and give you 15 verses, quote 15 verses, to justify his action on it. Yeah, don't walk away from it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's disgusting, ain't it?
For
filthy lucre's sake. It just burns me up. Sorry. We're going to get into that. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, all right, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. That wouldn't be a compliment to them, would it? This witness is true. I like that. Paul says, this witness is true. This is the truth. He's talking, it come out of them. It come out of a liar's mouth, but this is true, didn't it?
Right.
Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. We got a job to do, and we need to stand there and tell these people the truth. We need to stand there, hold our ground, and try to do it. The hard part is with the charity and the meekness, as you talked about this morning, and gentleness. Yeah. It's the hard part, ain't it? Because I myself want to go, are you stupid or what? But I can't do that. You know? Sometimes I got to go, it's like that commentary you picked up a while ago, and you said, you know, what's this gunk? Well, I'm trying to be gentle with somebody who doesn't know any better. That's what you got to do sometimes. Just take it and go on and don't worry about it. And I don't have to read it. I don't read commentaries. If anybody ain't got that point yet. Rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Might straighten them out, hopefully, right? Not giving heed
to Jewish fables.
See, they're back to, and as you, I think you spoke about that, last week or week before last or something, about the Jewish fables is back to the Jewish gospel, the Messiah gospel, that we're not saved by. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. See, no matter what we do, and this is an interesting point, he's making that point again, that no matter what we do, we're not charged with that sin. It's not, we're not doing it. It's not me that sinneth, but the sin that dwelleth in me. It's the same thing right there again. He's saying it again. Paul gets these points to us over and over again. They profess that they know God, but in their works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient. What are they being disobedient to? Paul's writings, aren't they? And unto every good work, reprobate. See, they're doing good stuff, but it's reprobate because it's wicked if it's not for the right, it's not the right thing and not for the right reason. If they're going, oh, well, I gotta go, and this is the mentality in the churches. They're going out, I gotta go up here. For example, they're building a church down the street from my mom. It's an old sawmill, been a sawmill for as long as I can remember. The old building, the metal building's still there. They're just building onto it. And I assume they're going to strip the metal off and put the thing on. And yeah, we're in my home and somebody forgot to turn the phone off. But they're going to strip the, I assume they're going to strip the metal off and cover it with whatever, and that's going to be their church building. And but I'm sure there's people in that church that think they got to go down there and work on that church for God to be pleased with them. See, that's doing. But in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. That's a reprobate work, isn't it? It's for the wrong reason. You know. I haven't got the help with the building a whole lot. Our building. But I live 60 miles away from it, and I work crazy hours. But I'd like to go work on it. Not because I think it's getting me brownie points with God. That's ridiculous. But anyway, chapter 2, but speak those things which become sound doctrine. We need to teach them the sound doctrine of Paul. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, oh, in patience. How many of the men in the room are thinking, okay, move on to the women now? Next verse, you move on to the women. The aged men be sober, okay? Grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, impatience. How many people got that down? That's something the Lord's been dealing with me on, that I need to be, sorry web people, I need to be more charitable. And no, that don't mean giving my money away, does it, dear? It means being more charitable to people. It means being more patient with people. Maybe not blowing up at them when they come back after an hour and a half lunch and I don't have time for them to take an hour and a half lunch. I guess I'm confessing my sins now. Yeah. Got a Bible verse for that one.
You are forgiven.
Yeah, I am forgiven before I said that.
I'm not the one doing it.
Yeah. The age women, okay, we're going to get off the men now, but we're going to get back to them. Okay. God isn't mad at me though, right? But the age women likewise, that they may be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Okay? That they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That they may teach. He walked all over this morning. That's probably why I didn't have notes. I'd have probably been sitting here when... tearing them up, throwing them out the window. But that they may teach the younger women to be sober. We're supposed to take what we've learned from Paul. Like I said, he stepped all over this morning. But we're supposed to take what we learn and teach it to the younger ones. You're supposed to take what you learn and teach it to the younger ones. She's supposed to take what she learns and teach it to the younger ones. Hey, Marilyn, you're supposed to take what you learn, teach it to the younger ones. See, that's what we're supposed to do, or what the women are supposed to do. And the men likewise. The men are supposed to do that. Because he goes on into that here in a little bit. But see, we're supposed to take that. What are they supposed to teach them? Teach the young women to be sober, to be solemn, to be grave, to be respectful, to not be mouthy and boisterous and all that stuff. To be a solemn Christian, to be serious about this, to love their husbands. That's a tough one, ain't it? I know. We're not exactly lovable, are we? I know. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not the most lovable person in the world. It's not easy to love me. My wife's got her hands full. To love their children. I always figured that one's probably the easiest one for a woman in that list. They usually love their children. To be discreet, which the definition is prudent and cautious. Okay? Discreet. Sorry, I lost my place again. Chaste. Keepers at home. That's a good one, ain't it? That one's so fun for women. That's the one that makes Titus the Baptist T word. That's why Baptists hate it so much, because they want them stinking ties that comes from that woman working. That's what it all boils down to. You know, what was it they said to me one time? Well, this is from ties from women working. That's what I was told once. I won't go into that whole story. I don't want bullet holes rolling in front of the house, if anybody's listening. But that's what they told me once. They said, well, this is from ties from women working. I said, well, then I don't want nothing to do with it. Keep your trash. That's what I told them. But anyway, see, that's where I need to learn patience and charity and temperance. Yeah. Now I'd probably just wag my head and walk away, right? Keepers at home and obedient to their own husbands. Gina, are you supposed to do what I tell you? No. Susan, are you supposed to do what I tell you? Yeah. She's supposed to be obedient to me. Like I tell people, and this makes them so happy. You know, Genesis 3:16 is as much Bible as John 3:16 that you love to quote so much. Because that's where it says a woman's supposed to be in subjection to her husband. That's where he first mentions it. Genesis 3:16. Anybody wants to quote John 3:16? I said, well, why don't you quote that? Why don't you quote this one right here? You know, when we left the church that we was going to, and we started looking for churches. And I'm calling these places. You know, it's where we started. And I'd talk to pastors. And it was so easy to figure out where they stood on the Bible. Because you could bring up this verse. You go, well, what about Titus 2:5? They start making every excuse in the world for a woman to work. That's what you'd get out of them. Okay, see where you are. Have a good day. You know, you hit on this morning. Lost my point. But anyway, they want to make excuses for you to do this, to go ahead and do it. Well, it's what the Bible says, is it not? Is that what the Bible says? Get louder, they're pounding. It says that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's pretty stern out of Paul, isn't it? He's usually not that rough with you, but that's pretty rough for the ladies there. But anyway, let's get back to the men. Younger men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Now, the definition. I like definitions. It makes stuff make sense to me. To use words or arguments to incite good deeds. Okay? That's what exhort means. That means trying to talk to someone and show them the truth. That's hard to do in this day and age, isn't it? They hate the truth. See, it ain't us. It ain't you and me, Jason, that these people are hating. It's the truth they hate. It means they're going to have to relearn a lot of stuff. It's like that one boy asked me at the conference, he said, "Oh, do you like this stuff?" I said, "No." He goes, "You don't?" I said, "No, I don't like it at all. It means I got to relearn all this stuff." I said, "I don't like that. It means I was wrong about all this stuff. It means a lot of stuff that I stood up and preached, that I stood on a corner and preached, is wrong. I still hate to hear the verse, 1 John 1:9. Because it just rings out in my mind. I still remember the hardwood floor in the place of the nursing home where I preached it. That bugs me. And we've done it. I preached that to them people. I lied to them. I don't want to do that no more. It makes it harder to get up here. It makes it harder to get out there. I don't like it. Because I didn't exhort. I didn't use words or argument to entice the good deeds. A lie isn't a good deed. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, which that was not, was it? That cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. It's going to shut them up. I'm telling you. It'll stop them in their tracks when you use the truth on them. I've always wanted to preach a message called, "Are You a Dumb Christian?" Meaning, as the Bible uses the word dumb, can't say anything. Somebody asks you a question, you can't answer it. Why not? Are you a dumb Christian? You don't know how, you can't answer a question because you don't know the Bible well enough to answer a question? So I don't mean it as in dumb, as in not very bright. I mean it as in they're not reading. And they can't say nothing. Because they don't know the truth. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to... Wow, is it that late already? Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Now, why would he talk to servants? I've been thinking a lot about that this week. Who's a servant? Jason, who do you work for?
Me.
Yeah? Customer. But who do you work for after it's all said and done? Who's got to be happy with your work? Your customer does, don't they? So, you're their servant. You know, the only job I could think of all week where you weren't someone's servant, and this didn't last very long, was if you had, like, say, a, what do you call it? Bruce, with a beard. A self-sufficient farm. But then I thought, no. Because he's still doing the work that he does in service to his family. So he's still a servant. So he's talking to all of us, ain't he? I don't think we can get out of being a servant. We may, well, sit around and do nothing, I guess. Not purloining. That was interesting. That really got me wondering. Not purloining. I looked that up. It says literal theft. Or not literal theft. Literature is what it's talking about. It's talking about theft of literature. Purloining, not purloining. You look up, in the definition was plagiarism. You look up plagiarism and it says purloining. Isn't that interesting? They're very close words. They're both meaning the same thing, but showing all good fidelity. I got to thinking about that not purloining, though. That stealing of literature. Wouldn't that be... Is it too much of a stretch to think for a minute that that's Paul saying you're taking this out of context? You're robbing scriptures from over here and trying to make it apply to this day and age? I just wonder. I don't know. I'm not saying that's exactly what it means. I just wonder if it ain't. That you may adorn the doctrines... I'm sorry. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Adorn means to dress up and make beautiful. I just wonder, is what we're doing, is what you're doing, is it adorning the doctrines of God? Or are you making it look like a drudgery? You know, maybe if we're more charitable about it, maybe more, temperate about it and things like that, maybe it wouldn't look like such a drudgery. I think it's all right that if we're, having a bad day or something happened that really bugged us to share with each other because we understand, but, we need to be careful who we take it to. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I won't get into that verse because that's just one right there on its own that could spend a lot of time. Teaching that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a day. I love that. Can't wait. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. How many people are zealous of good works? Huh? How many people are just ready to go? Huh? These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. That's the tough part. How do you tell somebody they're wrong without them despising you? That's tough, ain't it? That's a little hard to do. But that's what He tells us to do. You know, hey, I'm not trying to make you mad. But here's what the Bible says. Well, I don't like you for saying that. I'm going to go all over the country and tell people not to talk to you. But then, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates. Guilty. Didn't do it. To be ready to every good work. To obey magistrates, that's the people who have authority over you. I'm bad about griping about police officers and them out there trying to make their dollar off of my paycheck. And I'm bad about complaining about that. But it says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man. Is that hurting anybody? To be no brawler, but gentle. Wow.
There it is.
What was, is my name in there somewhere? Showing all meekness unto all men. But he should have said, look, Kenny, to speak evil of no man, Kenny, be no brawler, Kenny, but gentle. Are you listening? Showing all meekness unto all men. That's tough. See, every time I read this week, I go, man, I'm lousy at that. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not of works of righteousness, which we have done. There it throws most of the Baptist doctrine out the window. But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I like that regeneration. Made alive. You hath He quickened.
Amen.
I was dead in my trespasses and sins, and He made me alive. That's something, ain't it?
Sure.
We can't even begin to explain that. That's a great work. Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Why did I stop? Jason's looking at me. There's a name that keeps coming up. I'm not going to say that name. But I'm going to tell you something. This is what Paul says about it. And the question is, have we done what Paul said to do? That's my question. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. We get people who want to argue that we're under the law, that that hasn't changed. The law hasn't changed. Okay? It's still a law. It's still God's Word. It still tells us what's right and wrong. And God ain't changed what's right or wrong. Has He? He hasn't changed one bit of it. But for somebody to stand and argue that we're still under the law is a problem. Paul says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies. Which reminds me of something that was said about that. Oh, well, such and such was, it was to the Gentiles then. If you study the genealogy out of it, no, it wasn't. And contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. There's nothing good to them. Nothing's going to come out of it. Except for maybe aggravating somebody to unbelievable point. He ain't done yet, though, is he? A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. Why did Paul finish with this? Knowing that he that is such is subverted. These people that want to argue about questions of genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. He says, knowing that he that is such is subverted, overthrown from the foundation, right? and sinneth. First of all, if Paul says he sinneth, what's that mean? He's still charged with a sin, ain't he? For it's not I that sinneth, but the sin that dwelleth in me. The man I'm talking about is lost. That breaks my heart. Because the last person that wanted to give up on him is me. Knowing he that is such as subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Why is he condemned? Why is he going to be condemned? Because he's denied what's in this word, hasn't he? Paul doesn't talk lightly about people who reject what he writes. Paul's hard on those people. And he's saying right here, he describes him, he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. And he just said right before that, in the after the first and second admonition, reject. Admonition is reproving them, talking to them. Have you talked to him more than twice?
Yes.
Yeah, so have I. Have you talked to him more than twice about this? I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm not saying it. I take that back. I'm not saying it, am I? It don't make me happy either. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer, and you did bring this up this morning about the taking care of the brethren. And I like how Paul puts this. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. Take good care of them, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And you think, well, from that point on, it's just, you know, goodbyes and salutations and all that stuff, you know, all the good little warm little fuzzies and stuff at the end of it. But he's got one last little point to make here. Let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they may be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee, greet them that love us in the faith. You know, we're supposed to be glad when they come in. The people that believe the same with the word. We're to try to get them. We're to try to do the work on them. Titus, he's showing us here in the book of Titus. We're to try to show them the truth. But we're not supposed to drive ourselves crazy with them. He says after the first and second admonition, reject. That's why I won't call this guy and invite him to come down. That's why I won't. I'm done. Because Paul says don't. And it worries me, the thought of bringing him in, because we already know when he did come to church with us what he said to kids. And I believe kids should, we should try to keep our children around adults that are going to edify, not tear down. So I think we need to be careful. Maybe even to the point of giving a warning, you know, to the children, you know, that you need to watch out. We don't know what this person's going to say. We don't know who they are yet. You need to be cautious. Don't listen to what they're saying. Don't let them fill your head full of garbage that you're under the law if you're not. I'm glad I'm not under the law anymore. I don't want to go back to being under the law. I don't want to go back to thinking I'm under the law. But just some thoughts from Titus that Paul wrote to Titus, to us, to learn from. But he, you know, we're to be zealous of all good works. We're to be ready to go do the good work, but for the right reason. Not because we think God's going to smile on us and bless our life because of it. You know, God has blessed my life. Right here it is. This is the best blessing anybody could get if they just look at it and see the truth in it.
That's good.
But, well, that's it. I'm done.